by the Samoa Don Ivrit Hebrew Club, and very happy to see everybody here. We are on 1 Samuel, as you know, chapter 2 is where we're working, and we got through verse 23 last week. We are still talking about Eli and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, if you will recall. Eli is confronting his sons at the end of verse 23 about the reports that he has been hearing about their abhorrent and evil behavior. And so he questions them about it. And we pick it up then at verse 24 where that conversation continues. And we'll go through actually the end of the paragraph. You can see where the paragraph ends. At the end of verse 26, that's where the Masoretes at least divide it. And it goes on to a little different scene there. All right. So verse 24. Al-Banai, ki lo tova ha-shemu asher anoki shomea ma'avirim am Yahweh. Okay, notice here how you have Al, which you know negates, but you usually see it in connection with a verb. Here it's kind of standing on its own, and it's kind of an emphatic negative here. So kind of certainly not, or no, you know, kind of strong no, Banai, no, my sons. Alright, in other words, I don't know, in expanded English you might say, stop doing that, don't do that. No, my sons. Kilo. Notice here, you see the little circle above low? I'll give you, since this is a, you know, kind of expanded version of Hebrew Club, I'll show you a little bit about the Masoretic notes so that at least you kind of figure out what's going on here. You see those three circles there, boom, boom, boom? Those all point to notes in the left-hand margin, just so you see how carefully the Masoretes sometimes read the text. So if you notice, immediately to the left, you see the Lamed, then a period, then another Lamed, hey, and then a Mem, and then a Lamed. Everybody see that? The period is what separates the notes, all right? So, the first note, the Lamed, that means it occurs only here. All of those little notations that you see are Aramaic abbreviations for stuff. And there's works out there that can help decipher that. But anyway, that tells you that evidently, I'm not sure if I'm reading this one correctly actually, it's the third circle that I'm interested in, but the first two indicate that the key and the low occur together, if I'm reading this right, only here. The third circle is above the low. What's unusual about this low, the spelling? Okay, notice that you usually don't see low with a vav, right? It's so that this is written in full. Now the Masoretic note has that lamed hay there. That refers to that note. See the lamed hay? That means 35 times, and then the mem and lamed is short for male, to be full. So 35 times it's written like this. All right, and if you go to this passage, there's a book in the library that Vial has written called the Masorah Parva. This is a small, it will give you the passages, if you look this up, where you find the same spelling. All right. So that's my obscure comment for the day. I promise I won't do that anymore. But just so you at least get familiar with some of the detail that's in the Masoretic text, kind of interesting. Okay. So he says, "Know my sons, for lo tova, not good." Notice that that's a feminine from just good, the adjective. Not good is the shemua, the report, that which is heard. It's just a call passive participle from shama, and uses a substantive here. So not good is the report which I am hearing. Okay, which I am hearing. Now notice you have this ma'avirim. This is a participle plural, hifil, from avar. Avar means in the call, remember, to pass over. Here, it's a hifil, and so the intransitive verb becomes transitive, which the people are spreading around or passing around. So notice that the subject is ha, is Am Yahweh. Notice that Am is a collective, and it has, in this case, the plural verb with it. All right, it's very interesting here that a lot of people say that this phenomena of construing collectives with plurals is more characteristic of later Hebrew than early Hebrew texts. Early Hebrew texts usually construe the collective with the singular verb. But that's not true. There's numerous exceptions to that. So other linguists point out that it can be a characteristic of early texts. And Samuel's usually thought of as an early text. But just notice it. It might throw you, because in English we're kind of not used to seeing that. So it would be the report which I am hearing, the people of Yahweh Ma'avrim, spreading around. Okay? Everybody see what I was saying? Any questions about that verse, about forms or anything? Alright. Verse 25. Elohim. Okay. Here's Eli continues his speech. If a man yecheta, if a man sins, leish, against a man. So if man sins against a man, u pilalo, what's the root? Palal, right? And it's a PL. Everybody see that it's a PL? The lamed does not have a dagesh that's characteristic of PL, because there are certain letters, the Scheman Levy letters, Samic, Kof, Lamids, Mem, Nuns, Vavs, and Yuds don't always have the Yuds, the Dagesh Fortes in them that you would expect. So Vayahi, notice that the Yud does not have a Dagesh in it as you would expect. So here's two, don't let that throw you. This is a PL. And notice it usually has the meaning of to pray, but here the meaning is kind of tough. The Jewish Publication Society translation actually translates it as to pardon. See? So if a man sins against a man, then God can pardon him. Alright? But if against Yahweh a man sins, who yitpalelo? Who will act as intercessor for him, or who will be able to pardon him? Notice that this is a hit pael, so it's a different form than the PL, and so there's probably a different nuance of meaning in the two usages, alright? But it's kind of, you'll see it translated in various ways, because the usage of this word is unusual. Like I said, it usually means to intercede for, and you can translate like that. A lot of translations do this. If a man sins against a man, then God can make intercession for him, which I don't know if it makes sense, but if against the Lord a man sins, who can act as intercessor for him? All right.
So how much of a theological statement is this really, and how much of this is just Eli talking?
Yeah, I think that that's a good question, if he's reflecting a larger idea, or see, he's... I think what he's trying to do is warn his sons of the seriousness of what they're doing, that they're not just sinning against people by robbing the sacrifice, they're actually sinning against God. And earlier in the text that was indicated, you remember when it said they were messing with the minchat of Yahweh. You know? So it's not only against man, they're sinning against God. And if you do that, you're in real trouble, because no one is there to
kind of... So you think he's referring more to the issue with the sacrifice than he is with sleeping around with the deaconesses?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if he even distinguishes it. Yeah, it's probably both, because from top to bottom, either one, they both had to do probably with, you know, what went on in the
worship.
In the worship. Yeah, that's a good question. Okay? Now notice you have the Atnak after the low. Who will act as intercessor for him? Stop. Velo yishmahu lekol avihem. But not did they listen or obey, listen to the voice of their father. They did not listen to the voice of their father. Or they would not listen to the voice of their father. Notice that that's an imperfect. Ki chafetz, for Yahweh desired lahamitam, to put them to death. What's the root of lahamitam? Moot, yeah. And what conjugation is this? It's a hifil, right? Moot means to die. This is a hifil infinitive construct, to put to death. So Yahweh wished to put them to death.
So can one infer sort of like a hardening of the hearts kind of thing going on here?
Yeah, I think so. That they were, and yeah, that this is God, Yahweh's judgment on them.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and notice that this seems to be the author's own thought that he's thinking about these things. You know, why didn't they, wouldn't they listen to their father?
I mean,
yeah, especially in that society. It's not like today where my kids mouth off all the time, you know. Try to keep them in line, Pastor Wilson, but they don't always do. So, but in this society, you know, if you disrespected your parents, it was a capital offense. You could be stoned. So here they, you know, Eli evidently did not take any action against them other than this, see, when he should have. Okay? So verse 26. Vehanar Shemuel Holek Vegadel Vato Gamim Yahweh Vegamim Anashim. This is a very interesting construction here. Notice again we have this contrast between the sons of Eli and Samuel. But the youth Samuel. Right? So notice the next three words. Holek Vegadel Vato. But the youth Samuel. Here's a participle from Halak. Now, usually the infinitive construct of Halak has the function of indicating continuity. But every once in a while you get the participle, and that's what you get here. So it indicates continuous action. The main thought is in the Gadale. So the youth Samuel, if you translate like this, the youth Samuel kept growing. Alright, or, and the Holek indicates the continuous action. Was growing. Vato, and good. See, again, continuous action. So it's almost like you have to translate in rather idiomatic English. The youth Samuel was getting bigger and better. All right, but a better translation would be the youth Samuel was growing kind of physically and in favor. See, the vato, that's how it's almost usually understood. So he's growing physically, see, but also spiritually.
Isn't this a fairly common idiom that we kind of get in the OT? This idea of somebody kind of continued in the
Yeah, well, the whole lake with it, you'll see the whole lake with a number of phrases like the, what was it, the cattle were walking and mooing. So they continually mooed as they walked, is how you would kind of understand the Hebrew. So he continually grew and got better. Both, see, notice gam here means both and. Both with Yahweh and also with men. See? It's a very interesting construction. Alright, any questions about verse 26? Alright, verse 27. Vayavo ish Elohim el Eli, Vayomer Elav, Ko Amar Yahweh, Ha Niglo Nigleti El Beit Avika, Bihyotam Bemitzrayim Leve Paro. Okay. A man of God, now notice you're switching scenes here. Then a man of God came, from Bo obviously, then a man of God came to Eli. And he said, Elav, to him, Ko Amar Yahweh, thus says the Lord. Notice you see this in prophetic introductions, and so here you have it. Thus says the Lord. And I notice the next two words here. Ha Niglo Nigleti. What's the root of both of those words? Gala. Gala, right? To reveal. What conjugation is it? Niphal, very good. Niphal. So the call means to reveal. The nifal means to, it can be either passive, be revealed, or reflexive, to reveal oneself. The first word then, now you know right away, you've seen this construction a lot, is an infinitive absolute followed by the finite verb. And here, I think that it indicates the speaker's conviction, namely Yahweh's conviction to the truth of what he is saying. So you would translate like this. Thus says the Lord, I certainly did reveal myself. I certainly did reveal myself. What is the hay doing before the nigla? What is that?
Interrogative.
Okay. Notice the Masoretic text has this interrogative hay. Right? So, did I certainly reveal myself? Did I indeed reveal myself? That is a difficult reading. And you'd have to understand it as kind of a question that he's not asking a sincere question. It's kind of an obvious,
rhetorical
question. Kind of thing, very emphatic. But notice that in the apparatus here, the Septuagint, the Syriac, and Targums omit the interrogative particle. And if you'll notice the word before it, what does the word before it have at the end? Notice Yahweh? What's at the end? Another hey. So I think you could make a case that this is an instance of diplography, a doubling of the letter, see? That's why the Septuagint omits it. And it makes it a little easier to translate if you omit it, I think. Alright? And you can make a case for it.
So what you're saying then is if you omit it,
it just becomes a statement.
Okay.
I certainly revealed myself to the house of your father. Bith Yotam. That's an infinitive construct from Hayah. In their being in Egypt. Alright, so I certainly revealed myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt, Lebeit Paro. At the house of Pharaoh, with the house of Pharaoh, or again, some people indicate that this means subject to Pharaoh. See? Under Pharaoh's power. Alright? Verse 28. Uvachoroto mikol shivte Yisrael li lekohen. La'alot al mizbechi lehatir ketoret la'seit efod lefanai. Va'etna levet avika el kol she b'nei Yisrael. U'bachor. Notice that that's an infinitive absolute. And here's an instance in which an infinitive absolute fills a slot that you would normally have a finite verb. So you would translate it according to the context. Notice the subject is probably Yahweh still speaking. And I chose him. See? So notice he's just going into more specifics as to how he revealed himself. I certainly revealed myself when Israel was in Egypt, and I chose him, namely the house of your father, Mikol, out of all the Shiftei, out of all the tribes of Israel, for myself, Lekohen, as priest. Alright? Now notice that the next La'alot is from the root Allah. So what does that mean? Allah. Anyone else? To go up. Yeah, call infinitive absolute. And now the Lamed here, the reason he chose him, see? So he chose him as priest, La'alot, to go up to Mizbechi, to go up to my altar. Lehaktir, another purpose, to smoke ketoret, smoke the incense. Okay, in other words, to burn the incense. Katar means to burn. To burn incense, lasek, what's the root? This is a little harder. Yes, good, from nasa. Another call, infinitive construct, the nun drops out. So notice you have three lamads followed by infinitive construct. To wear, literally to carry the ephod, but to wear the ephod lefanai before me. So notice that he chose him to go up on my altar, to offer the incense, to wear the ephod lefanai before me. Alright? Va'etna. And I gave. Notice from Natan. And I gave levet avika to the house of your father et kol. All the ishay b'nei Israel. Ishay, now you can kind of, even if you don't know this word, you can kind of puzzle it out because it looks very familiar, right? What would you guess? Just looking at that combination, ish. And it's a very common Hebrew word.
Fire.
Ish is fire, right? Ish is fire. Ishah, which doesn't, this word never occurs in the singular, always in the plural. Ishim is offerings made by fire. Okay? So you can kind of puzzle it out. And I gave to the house of your father all the offerings made by fire, all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire. Okay, so notice that Ishay is a plural construct from Ishim. Okay? Good. Any questions about verse 28? All right, verse 29. Now here we get interesting. Lama tivatu bezivchi ubeminchati asher ziviti ma'on batekabed et baneka mimeni lehavri. Havriakem me reshit kol minchat Yisrael la'ami. Why? Now, tibat, this is kind of, this is an uncommon word, ba'at, to kick at. Okay? Why are you kicking at zivchi, my sacrifice, from zevach, zavach, the sacrifice? Why are you kicking at my sacrifice and at minchati, my offering, mincha? Okay? Why are you kicking at them? Which tiviti? Now here it's obscure. Which I commanded my own. My own is a dwelling. Alright? And this, it's almost indecipherable. I think the best, it's, Kyle Baelish have an interesting solution. They just suggest that this is an accusative, much like you see when you use bait. In English, you would supply the preposition at the dwelling, or at, in reference to the tabernacle. So they would translate like this. Why are you kicking at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I commanded at the dwelling, at the habitation? Others suggest that this is a denominative, some kind of form from ayan, or oyein. You know the Hebrew root ayin, which means I. And so if you look at this in English, some say, why are you kicking at my sacrifice and my gift? Then you are eyeing suspiciously or eyeing disparagingly what I commanded. See? But again, you have to really change that word, my own. It's a very difficult reading, and we'll get the same thing a couple of verses from now. Okay? Vatekabed, and you have glorified or honored Baneka, your sons, Mimeni, more than me. See? Lechav Riakem. This is from Barus, be fat. This is the Hippel infinitive construct, to make fat. So as to make yourselves fat. See, he liked the food he was getting. Remember, Eli was heavy. So he was benefiting from what they were doing to sacrifice too. You have honored your sons more than me, so that you have made yourselves fat, may reshit, from the first of all the minchat, of all the gifts, notice this is a collective, from all the offering of Israel, all the offerings of Israel, that is my people. Or all the offerings of Israel for my people. You can translate it that way as well. Okay? Any questions about 29? All right, let's go to verse 30. Rakein, Naum Yahweh Elohe Yisrael, Amor Amarti Beitaka Uveit Avika, Yitchalku Lefanai Adolam, Vata Naum Yahweh Chalilali Ki Mekabdai Akabed Uvozai Yekalu. Okay, therefore, now notice he's still talking very much like a prophet here. Therefore, utterance of Yahweh, the God of Israel. Amor amarti. Notice again you have this infinitive absolute followed by a finite verb. I certainly said or told Beiteka, your house and the house of your father. Okay? Oh, I'm sorry. I certainly said that your house and the house of your father, Yitchalku, would walk, Yitchalku. Notice that this is a Hittite from Halak, would walk with, or would walk around with, or something like that, before me, Adolam, forever. Vata. But now, utterance of Yahweh. Chalila, this is a negative particle. Far be it from li, from me. See, chalila li, it's a very common idiom. Far be it from me. Okay, ki mekabdai. But this is a participle, pl from kaved. Kaved means to be heavy. Here is pl, to honor, to make someone heavy. But mekabdai, this is a participle, plural, pl. But those who honor me. Okay, those who honor me. Notice that this is a substantive again. Those who honor me, akabed, I will honor. And bozai, can anyone get the root of bozai? It's another verb. It's shortened, and you can see, kind of puzzle it out what it is with the holem after the bait. This is from baza. base design hey. It's a third hey verb, and that hey drops out when you get a vocalic ending like this. So it's a call participle. Without the ending, it would be bozeth, would be the masculine. And then the feminine singular would be boza. Plural bozim. Feminine plural bozot. So here it's from bozim. You take off the ending and add the suffix. And those who despise me, yekalu. This is from kalal. To be light. To be unimportant. This is a call. Imperfect from kalal. So those who despise me, they will be despised. They will be unimportant. Okay? Questions about verse 30? That was kind of a mouthful there. Okay, I'll do one more verse for you today. Hine, now notice this prophetic stuff continues. Hine yamim ba'im ve'gadati et zeroaka ve'et zeroa beit avika mihyot zaken ve'veteka. Look, the days are coming. Ba'im, from bo, this is a call participle. The days are coming, vegadati, from gada. I will cut off et zeroakeh, your arm, and et zeroah, the arm of the house of your father. Okay? So notice the power. That arm here is a symbol for your power, your authority. Okay? Mihyot zaken. From being an old man. So you notice that mithyod is a call, infinitive construct from haya. Literally, from being an old man in your house. So that there will not be an old guy in your house. See, in other words, they're all going to die before they reach old age. So this is only part of the curse. We'll stop here. And I continue with verse 32 because Yahweh goes on.
So a man of Elohim is Yahweh himself.
A man of Elohim would probably be a prophet. It's the way, you know, Elijah was called a man of God.
This is an unmarked prophet.
So this is just some prophet, right.
So,
some prophet comes with a word from God. Yeah, just comes with a word from God. And when we get to, I don't know if we'll get to it because that's in Kings. But, you know, you'll see Elijah and Elisha called men of God as well, prophets. Another word for prophet.
Yeah. All right. All right. Thank you.